Good morning to everyone that ventured out this morning. And thank you, Grace. That's the song we're going to start with. Oh, how joyfully, oh, how hopefully waits the earth on Christmas Eve. 209 in the blue hymnal. And let's stand. 209.
I want to welcome you all here this morning, snowy, white Christmas, I guess the day after Christmas, but still a white Christmas. Thank you for all coming out. We're among the family, we were talking last night, how many people are going to show up? Are there going to be 5, 10? Our high number was 20, and we're 21, and our low number was about 7, so you're doing better than we thought. We will be bringing a service that's the Dirksons here, a little different from what we are used to, in the sense that it will be just a number of readings and from different authors and some familiar hymns that help us continue to celebrate the good news of the birth of Jesus. But as we have done throughout Advent, I would like you to turn to the call to worship, and we'll read it together from your bulletin. Glory to God in the highest. A Savior has been born to us, Christ the Lord. Let all the earth rejoice in God's great gift. May we bow our heads in prayer. Come, child of Bethlehem, make your presence known to us and dwell in our midst as we worship. Come, servant king, teach us the ways of your kingdom and make our hearts your throne. Come, brother of all, show us the meaning of our humanity. Go before us and lead us to God. Bring us to the fullness of your kingdom. Amen. So I would ask if you turn in your bulletin for the candlelight litany. You can see the candles are already lit. But we will read it together, just like the call to worship. We light the Christ candle and we welcome new life. Hurry, hurry, sing the glory.
Imagine that we are God's wonders, blessed wonders.
Let us rejoice again in song. And sing, good Christian friends, rejoice, with heart and soul and voice, 210, right beside the one we just sang. And let's stand, please, 210.
Good morning and welcome here, and welcome all of you who are online and sitting at home in your pajamas. We are happy that you are there, and we're happy that you connected with us here. You can see most of what we can see. You just can't hear how good it sounds inside with the whole orchestra and our voices ringing off the rafters. Bart is ready with the microphone, and if every one of us had something to share, we would still not take half an hour. Well, depending on how long the sharing went, of course. One of the opportunities I'd just like to remind us all is that next Sunday, a week from today, we will have a communion service. And following that, the Tuesday after that, the women plan to begin tying quilts again, as we have done in the past. So we hope that that will continue. If you would like to share something for our prayer, this is your opportunity. We see that the Pray For box is a little bit expanded. There are so many things happening around the world. In fact, I heard a new one this morning, a little bit more personal. There was another kidnapping in the village very near where our family lives. So that's a little bit, well, more than a little bit concerning. The idea of kidnappings is very stressful. So that's in Nigeria. I'll just write that one down. And you can see that we have put in a number of international Pray For requests. Peace in Ethiopia, that's especially in the Tigray region. You may be keeping up with what is happening there on a daily or weekly basis. It's hard to understand when we are here, but we know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ there, and so we definitely pray for them as well as for all others. We pray for peace in Bethlehem and in the surrounding regions, and everybody has a different idea of how that peace is going to come about. And that difference of opinion, I think, is what causes war. Everybody has a different idea of what should be done. We pray for peace builders, witness workers in the Philippines, especially after a natural disaster. We put Russia and Ukraine at the bottom there. Again, we can't say this should happen, that should happen, but we recognize that there is a lot of tension right there, and it does involve a lot of superpowers. And we pray to the only superpower to be present in this situation and in our world. You know, sometimes when we compare ourselves, our own issues with the issues of the world, we seem small and insignificant, yet we are invited to pray, to bring everything that is in our hearts, in our lives, of our concern to our God. So if no one else would like to raise any issue, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your invitation to draw near, and you set the example for that by drawing near to us in the most humble, insignificant way. And we pray for insight, that we also would continue to recognize your presence in our world. We read the story again and again, yearly, and we think how silly they all were for not being able to recognize you. But this is humanity. And so we come before you humbly and say we too would follow that same path, but by your grace, that you shine the light on our path, that you demonstrate yourself again and again. You've opened the way to draw near to you, and we accept your invitation, recognizing our own sinful tendencies, our own errors, our own misjudgment. We bring it to you as we are. We have been rejoicing over the birth of your Son, and we recognize that around the world there is still a lot of darkness, that there are so many places that are not rejoicing. And that's exactly the story, that you came into the darkness. And you have heard us mention all of these different places. Remind us to keep bringing them to you as we bring our own loved ones, our own issues, our own struggles and cares and concerns. We pray for those internationally that we do not know. We pray for those in our own family systems that we do know. We bring them to you, and we ask for your care, your comfort, your guidance, your wisdom, which is above our own. So sometimes we don't even want to say what we pray for others, because you know your desire in their lives. We pray that your will be done. And probably the best wisdom is praying just the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
One thing that I have discovered recently is something called creation theology. Creation theology is a relatively new branch of theology that identifies creation as an active character in the Bible, who both reaps God's gifts and hurts as it bears the wrath of God in the form of floods and earthquakes when God punishes the people of the earth. Creation theology aims to bring the relationship between humanity and the earth into a Christian perspective, and it emphasizes where creation is present in the Bible and aims to interpret the relationship God wants us to have with the earth. So I'm now going to read you a poem that I wrote for a chapel at CMU. The theme of the Advent chapel was hope in a time of ecological degradation. In this poem, each verse is written from the perspective of an animal or element of nature, such as a frog, a deer, a chickadee, a lake, and an ecosystem, and then ending with the stable animals who witnessed Jesus' birth. This poem emphasizes that creation is a character present in the creation story and partakes in the hope that Christ brings to the world. What thing is this that is stomping through the forest? On two legs it walks unembarrassed. My small body could get crushed, and its feet are large and robust. But my amphibian eyes see its inclination, and I flee, hopping across the forest floor, away from two-legged thing of this. What creature is this that stares at me across the field? In the grass, it is almost concealed. I do not move, I keep still. Building suspense, it is a force of will. I, a cervid, am prey to the mass. So I freeze and wait for it to pass. So still, even as our eyes meet, harmless or dangerous, unfamiliar creature of this. What giver is this that is here again at the same time, every day to hang food from this pine? Each morning I fly here to feed, and consistently it is here with seed, which I take because winters are cold, and to get food I need to be bold. So I fly even on to its hand, and I eat the food from familiar giver that is this. What being is this that is weeping at my shore? Loud and disrupting, it cries before I, the lake, with my water and trees, with my fish, my birds, my energy, flowing from animal, from plant, from the sun, which shines on this being, calming it some. And the being feels a feeling that it struggles to explain in words of being that is this. What taker is this that is draining the fresh water, that aims to collect matter by excavating and disregarding I, amphibian, mammal, lake, and being? Without habitat, I cannot live. Without inhabitants, I cannot give. I feel the toll that ensues. I feel the energy misused because of taker that is this. What child is this? The stable animals asked. Who here has been born at long last? Who lies sleeping in the manger, sleeping? Whom shepherds here are honoring? The animals witnessed his birth, just as our actions are witnessed by the earth. Christ brings us hope for the future, Christ in creation. Christ is the child that is this.
Thank you, Naomi, for that poem. And we're going to stay with the creation theme for the next two hymns. Number 50, Praise the Lord, Sing Hallelujah, based on Psalm 148, full of imagery of creation and us praising God for that. Let's stand, please. 50. So in the middle of the night, I thought, I need another praise song. So instead of the next Christmas one, which we're going to put in later on, so I thought of To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done, 102. And we'll sing verse 1 and 3. 102.
On, off. Got to remember when it's on, when it's off. The first reading that we will read as a family is a Reader's Theater written by Carol Penner. Carol is a classmate of mine from Canadian Mennonite Bible College, the precursor to CMU, and she now is a professor at Conrad Grebel College, University of Waterloo in Ontario. This theater talks about the messages we hear at Christmas. Some mundane, secular, our own small little worlds, and some divine.
Voices this Christmas. The Earth's soundscape roars and lifts these days as we listen for God's voice at Christmas.
Marketers trumpeting, drawing our attention to all we lack, claiming only they can save us.
Politicians posturing, those with power telling us soothingly, all is well, their opponents yelling, all is lost.
Protesters chanting, outrage in their voices, as they call for justice, accountability, and change.
Social media buzzing with the world's gossip, the doings of the rich and famous, and the fall of the glamorous.
News announcers reporting, the bad news from everywhere, every evil thing done, and the daily list of casualties.
And then there are our own to-do lists that haunt our days and nights, reminding us with incessant voices of all we have failed to accomplish.
Words clatter all around us, and we wonder if this Christmas we will have ears to hear the message of angels on any level.
This Christmas, will teenage girls see the light and respond?
Here I am, a servant of the Lord. This Christmas, will men dream dreams and speak of things to come and safe paths in dangerous times?
And will they wake and take them?
This Christmas, will seniors who are long past childbearing hear prophecies in a personal way?
And have their lives changed by that revelation?
This Christmas, will construction workers in the field drop their tools and fall face down?
Overcome by the glory of God?
Will they hear the message?
Fear not!
And the rock-solid words?
Look, I am bringing good news of great joy for all people.
This Christmas, will we hear the bold words of the angels still ricocheting through space?
A child is born this day, the Messiah, the Lord. This Christmas, will we leave our business abandoned on the ground, dropping everything for the chance to worship for a moment on our knees?
This Christmas, will we be amazed at what God can do? Will we treasure these things, these amazing things, in our hearts?
This Christmas, will we go to our homes, our bodies humming with the vibrations of the harmonies of heaven, sung by ageless choirs?
Listen!
They are still singing.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all people.
God, who brought to life this story of salvation, give us ears fine-tuned to the message of hope.
Like a mother who can hear her baby crying through any crowd, give us all ears to hear the voice calling to us, the voice of Jesus this Christmas.
I think we're singing a song. You can remain seated. Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, 206.
Thank you.
I'll be reading Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
This next reading is adapted from a sermon written by Vern Ratzlaff for Nutana Park Mennonite Church. It contrasts the walk in human pride and our own selfishness with walking in the light of our and the wisdom of our Most High Lord and Savior. We dream dreams and see visions of a wonderful world where there will be no terrorist bombings, where children wouldn't be forced to serve in guerrilla armies, where women would not be brutalized, of a world where racism would be unknown, where class conflict would be non-existent, where in true spirituality people would live together and respect each other, and there would be unanimity about our spiritual roots and our expressions, when divisions and separations and violence would be no more.
Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
It would not be a one-world government, for nations would still exist, and national character and individuality would be respected. It would not be an idyllic world where people simply eat what is growing around them, for there would be the hard tasks of plowing and seeding and reaping. It would not be a static society where there were no differences, how dull, but a society where people would seek arbitration, not litigation.
Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Now, granted, it's hyperbole, it's exaggeration, that Yahweh's house shall be on a mountain, higher than any other mountain, higher than Mount McKinley, higher than Mount Robson. How can we get there then? And let's face it, swords make pretty poor plowshares, and spears make rather strange pruning hooks. But the dream is there, the impossible dream, the wondrous dream. I don't know what it may be, what it may do. Isaiah says, "But come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Come," the insistent invitation, "come.
Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord."
Oh, Isaiah, you're asking a lot. The Romans, the wondrous military machine, the world's policemen have their own God to worship, and they are stronger than the Jews. Oh, Isaiah, we have moved far beyond you. We have a new light to walk by in times of perplexity and sorrow and frustration. The light of education and of technology, we turn a switch and our homes are alight as they never were in your time. The gladiatorial contests of our sports stadiums bring us together when the world is dark, but inside there is light. Our technology allows us security beyond anything you dreamed of. We live longer, we can use other people's hearts and corneas, we can speak to each other even when continents separate us. We have so much light, our technology brightens the darkest of corners and the most obscure problems. We don't need the flickering candle that you eat your evening meal by. But Isaiah says,
"Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord."
Listen, Isaiah, we have power. We have discovered the power at the very heart of building blocks of the universe. You can't even imagine how small ultimate reality is. And we've nearly seen it, nearly touched it. We're so close to it. We've caressed the smallest, the very smallest, pulsating wonders of matter and cajoled them and shocked them into wild and wonderful dance as they fled their own orbits and whirled in impossible rhythm and then exploded with a light brighter than the light of a thousand suns, so that shadows of human bones were etched into the very rock. We play now with atoms, with what once was called unsplittable, now revealing the myriad mysteries of its very heart to our instruments. Here is light that brings hope to our world. But Isaiah says,
"Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord."
For it is the light of the Lord that shines upon us, and in us, and through us. And the light of Yahweh comes into the world. As the sun's rays reflect off the moon and transform the darkness of deepest night, so Yahweh's light through us brings light into the world. Oh, who will direct me to Bethlehem town? False brightness has hidden the way, and tinsel distractions have stolen from view the infant asleep on the hay. We'll bow in a stable as starlight shines down and quietly worship him there. For the light of the Lord need be no brighter than that of a single star that showed the way to those who sought.
Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Let us respond by singing the song from Sing the Journey, Longing for Light. Christ is our light. And we'll sing verse 1. 2 and 5. Number 54 in Sing the Journey. Let's stand.
Please, in your bulletins, join me in reading the benediction. We came to worship. We go now to serve. We have been given the light. We go now to let it shine. We have been blessed by God's love. We go now to share it. We are Christ's disciples. We go now to witness to all. Amen.
We want to leave from here walking with God as our light, as brothers and sisters and families and friends, and go rejoicing. So hymn number 78, and sing The Journey. The first line is repeated, so the first time you sing, we walk with brothers, we will, and then the second time we will walk my sisters, and we'll sing it through twice.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.